I didn't realize how important it would be today. We've had a lot of parents who are staying home, and then their kids are home with them, and I asked the director, do we have very many kids in our daycare? And the director told me that a lot of the parents whose kids are in our daycare right now are actually in the medical profession, doctors, nurses, EMTs, and what a blessing it is at Hope Church to know that we still have our daycare open and people are allowed to bring their kids so they can serve us in the community. And there are so many others, there are truck drivers, people who are stocking shelves, and so many are who are doing good. And I have a lot of hope, not only for now, but what God's gonna show in the future. But I do wanna pray for all of those in the service industry who are still doing the best they can to take care of our kids, take care of us. And so let's pray for them. Father, thank you for our daycare and the other daycares in town that are still able to be open. Thank you for people stocking shelves. And God, thank you for truck drivers and companies that are ramping up efforts to help in this hard time. God, we bless them. And God, we thank you again for the privilege this morning to talk about the goodness of God. We do have hope in you. Amen. Well, as you already know, we're in a series called the Seven Statements from the Cross. Jesus was on the cross for 6 hours, from 9 a.m. in the morning until 3 p.m. in the afternoon. In the first 3 hours when Jesus was hanging on the cross, he made three statements. We've already covered these the last couple of weeks. First, we covered the word forgiveness. Then 2 weeks ago, we covered the word assurance. Last week ago, we looked at a word love, and it really relates to our relationships and how Jesus took care of his mom. So that's 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock. At noon, things changed. Jesus is on the cross for 6 hours. But at noon, everything goes dark. And we all know that noon usually is the brightest part of the day, and really from noon to 3 is the hottest part of the day. But when Jesus gets to hour 3, it goes dark. We don't know if God just decided to make it dark or if clouds came in. Maybe it was a storm. We don't know, but we do know this. There was light at 11:59, and at noon it went dark. This is what the scriptures say, and I'm going to read from you today Matthew chapter 27. And in Matthew chapter 27, verse 45, it says this. At noon, darkness fell across the whole land until 3 o'clock. At about 3 o'clock, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" So here it is in the middle of day, just like night. And Jesus has been hanging on the cross for 3 hours. And he says, my God, why have you forsaken me?" This is one of those scriptures. I mean, maybe in some way, God is saying, this is so bad, this is so evil, this is so terrible to watch, I'm just going to make it dark. Jesus is at this point sacrificing himself for the sins of the world. It's such an ugly, horrible sight that Jesus cries out the fourth word when he's on the cross. And, you know, we get this when Jesus says, Father, forgive them. We understand that. We get when he says, hey, today to the thief on the cross, you're going to be with me in paradise. But now when he says, God, why have you forsaken me? Do you know that literally means Jesus is saying, you rejected me. You have abandoned me. You have deserted me. What a harsh and cold time this is for Jesus. Have you ever felt rejected? You know how bad that hurts. Some of us growing up felt rejected, abandoned by parents. Some of us as adults have been abandoned or rejected by a spouse. And how bad that hurts. Maybe it's a boyfriend or a girlfriend that you got dumped and it just breaks your heart. Jesus is on the cross. And up to that point, his last days, it was progressive abandonment. First, he's abandoned by Judas. And then Peter says that he's never even known him. And his other followers, most of them scatter because they're afraid that they're going to be arrested. And now he is basically alone on the cross. And he says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Every time that Jesus in the Holy Scriptures refers to God, he never says God. He says Father, Father. Except for this time. He doesn't say, oh, Father. He says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Because at this moment, the relationship is broken, and it is because of the sin that Jesus carries on the cross. Now, I want you to understand that Jesus paid a price for you so that you and so that I would be able to go to heaven. It's called salvation, and salvation is free, but it certainly wasn't inexpensive. And it broke the relationship between God the Father and God the Son at this very moment. Do you know that Jesus had never, from all eternity past to that point, never once was disconnected or out of connection with the Father? He had never even known what that meant. We know what it's like. There are times in your life and times in my life where we feel like, God, where are you? I'm praying so hard and I need your help and it seems like you're miles away. Jesus never once felt that until this moment. A lot of coldness. Jesus has been on that cross for hours. And he was on that cross in the dark. The feeling that your prayers aren't being heard. Up to that point, complete connection with the Father. Yet at this moment, God has to look away. A holy God has to look away. My God, even you have forsaken me. So there's the fourth word. It's called substitution. Jesus has become the substitution for our sins. He became my substitution. He became your substitution. He took the punishment for everything you've ever done, even the things that you could be doing now, and everything that you will ever do wrong. He paid the penalty for our sins, and he assumed our place on that cross. Somebody has to pay for our sins. It's either you or it's somebody else. And because you are loved so much, and even when we think about what is going on around the world, you have to understand that you are loved by God to the very point that he said, I will substitute my son and pay the way. Another scripture in 1 John chapter 2, verse 2 says this, in 1 John chapter 2, verse 2, he himself is the sacrifice that atones for our sins. And the only way, and not only our sins, but the sins of all the world. Hey, let me just be really clear about something this morning. If somebody dies and goes to hell, they go to hell with their sins paid for by Jesus Christ. Think about that. They rejected what he did for them. They rejected the grace of God, but Jesus paid the price for their sins. You know, the word atonement literally means payment for damages done. Have you ever been in a store and it says, you break it, you paid for it, or you pay for it? That's exactly what Jesus did. Sin came into the world and things were broken, and Jesus said, wait a minute, you broke it, but I'll pay for it. Atonement also satisfies justice. When there is a crime committed, many times we say there needs to be justice. Justice is demanded when there is a crime committed. And when sins are committed, somebody has to pay. The Bible says that Jesus became our atoning sacrifice for our sins. He satisfied the law. He satisfied justice. He did what justice demands. Let me read another verse for you this morning in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, that we could be made right with God through Christ. God took the sinless Christ and poured onto him our sins. This is the best deal that you and I are ever going to get. I like looking for good deals on Facebook Marketplace or Craigslist or garage sales. There is nothing ever that could compare to God's goodness given to us through his son Jesus. So let's just kind of look at this again. Here's what's happening on the cross. God is perfect. Jesus is perfect. But all of a sudden, in God's infinite love, he says, I am going to take away the sinfulness of man. And I'm going to do that by pouring it onto my son who is volunteering to do this. That's why he came to earth. The purpose that Jesus came to earth was to die on the cross and be our substitution. That moment when Jesus is on the cross, the whole world goes dark. He's not only suffering physically, the spiritual suffering. You and I know this. When we do something wrong, we feel bad, and we should. Think about all of the sins that all of us could commit. Think about all of the murder that has been committed and will be committed that was put upon Jesus. Every one of the worst sins you could ever imagine are put upon Jesus at that moment. The mental, the physical, the emotional, the spiritual torture to the point where he cries out, my God, my God. You, even you have forsaken me. That's why he's called the Savior. God, who is holy, cannot even stand to look at the sins that have been placed on his Son. Imagine God in heaven saying, because somebody's got to take the punishment, my own Son is the one. In all of eternity past, all of eternity into the future, Jesus and the Father are in perfect harmony, love, and 100% connection. But at that moment, Jesus is taking upon Jim Brewer's sins. At that moment, he's taking your sins, and God has to look away. And he rejects his own Son. You know, sometimes we think, man, my biggest problem is this or that. You know, sometimes I think that, just follow me for a moment. Your biggest problem perhaps isn't what you think your biggest problem is. Right now, maybe we're thinking about, oh, I could get sick, and that's a problem. It's not your biggest problem. What about my finances? Oh, that's a problem, but not your biggest problem. What about my relationships that are strained and there's all of this stress? Oh, that is a problem, but that is not your biggest problem. Let me tell you what your biggest problem is and what my biggest problem is. Now, follow me with this. Truth be told, your biggest problem and my biggest problem is that we are at war with God. You say, wait a minute. How could you say that I'm at war with God? Every day you make a decision. Every day I make a decision. Who is going to be first in your life? Am I going to go my own way, or am I going to follow God's written way? Are you going to choose your own path, or are you going to trust and follow God's path? Every day we make a decision, and there's a war, and we're at war. Sometimes we're at war with God. And we both kind of think, we all think that maybe I know what's going to make me happy. We don't know what's going to make us happy. Because there's a lot of things we've tried. Oh, this is the answer. This is what's going to make me happy. And we end up empty again. Do you think God knows what's going to make us happy? Even in the midst of when life is hard, he does. Because we weren't made to live out of harmony with God's word. The Creator loves you, he loves me, and he has a plan for our life. And sometimes circumstances can make us think this is so bad, when in reality, we're at war with God because we're choosing to go our own path. In a lot of ways, that's why people are frustrated. People don't sleep well. People are totally stressed out. He created you, he created me to know him. And he sent his Son to die for you and me that we would not be out of connection with him. Jesus was actually separated from God. My God, why have you forsaken me? That we could be united with God. Jesus was left alone that we could be lifted up. He was executed so you and me that we could be exonerated. His punishment equals our pardon. His humiliation equals our liberation. But it's easy to not follow the manual and be in war with God. I think especially today is a great reminder of why we not only get to, but need to consider the price for our freedom. Jesus was abandoned that you and I might be adopted. He was rejected that you and me might be redeemed. What a powerful, powerful, powerful thing Jesus did on the cross for us. How much does God love us in the midst of whatever is going on around us in this world? How much does God love us? He allowed His Son to be forsaken that you and I could stand forgiven. How could we not want to respond to that? The seriousness of Jesus hanging on the cross for us. God is holy, all of our sin is ugly, and salvation was extremely costly. But it's free for you and me. If you have never accepted Jesus, I encourage you to respond. You can't earn it. You can't work your way into it. We don't deserve it. We can't run into Walmart and hoard it. But what we can do is accept it. Jesus, thank you that you died for me. Thank you that you are my substitution. I want to trade my guilt for the gift of knowing you. I need forgiveness that I might live in freedom. Exchange your death for life. Jesus didn't just die for you or me. He died for everybody. And there's people who don't know Him, and these are hard times. People are questioning a lot of things. The world needs you and me to stand with answers. And that comes from how we react. It comes from how we act. It comes from us having confidence that no matter what happens, our God is still in control. I don't know when we'll get to be back together, but I know one thing that the human spirit desires, and that is connection. And we've done our best today to try to connect with you, even though we're not physically in the same building. I want you to know, as your pastor, I love you. I believe in you, and I want God's best for you. And if there are ways that we can pray for you, we're still keeping office hours. We are here, and we want to do our very best to communicate with you how to still grow in God, even though times are hard. If you do me a favor, I want you to remember today, you're forgiven if you ask for it. You can be cleansed because Jesus was rejected. What a gift. What a gift it is to be able to share with you today. And what a gift it is to know the Savior of the world and how valuable we are to Him. Let's pray together. God, we want to live thankfully. Some of our earthly things, even some of the necessities, are not here and not easy to find. And there is a paranoia that has swept over us. And God, we want to live thankfully that if you allowed your Son to die for us, you still have a plan for us. You're going to see us through this. And no matter what happens, you're still on the throne. God, I pray for our biggest problem, that we would not be at war with you, that we would not be separated from you, that we would not reject the goodness that you have given us in your Son, Jesus Christ. God, may we today have an attitude of gratitude for all that you have done. And God, I thank you for the friends at Hope Church and the others who are listening right now. And like I'm so wanting to bless them and ask you to keep them and to make your face to shine upon them. And God, even in these times, that you would give them peace. In your precious name we pray. Amen. I can't wait till we get to see each other again. God bless you so much. Have a great day.